You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
When a faithful servant spends time with God's people, something happens. That's what happened in the book of Acts. We've just read a passage of scripture that describes the impact of Paul's ministry among the Ephesians. And it's also what describes what's happened here over the past couple of years. So Paul was on his third missionary journey. As part of that third missionary journey, he'd stayed in Ephesus for 3 years. And that was just long enough for them to really get to know Paul. And Paul had become precious to them. Their ministry marked their church. They knew him because he had lived among them. He had been their pastor, their brother, their friend, and their fellow worker. And the passage we just read, he'd already left, and he was just a short distance away for a layover on his way to other ministry. And he stopped for one last time and called the Ephesian elders for another talk, knowing that he would never see them again. But today is a weird day. We are experiencing some of the same emotions as a church. Now, gratefully, at least I'm thankful, Nathan and Elaine are not departing on a ship, and they aren't telling us, you're never going to see us again. Like, this is it. See, take a good look at these faces, because once we leave tonight, you will never see them again. Thankfully, that's not the case at all. However, we know what it's like to be marked by somebody's faithful ministry, and then to experience some of the emotions that come with their departure. And today, I thought this passage would be a really helpful tool as a church for guiding us through what we're experiencing today. And I have two big headlines for what I think this passage is going to lead us through. I want to talk about the two things that Nathan and Elaine are taking with them, and then two things that we get to send with them. So two things that they're taking with them, and then two things we're going to send with them. So here's the two things that they're taking. Here I have to say, I wanted to include a video clip of when I think about what Nathan was taking. I wanted to include a security videotape of the one time that he came into the church, and he did what I've done many times, is I've gone to the fridge and I've reached in there to check if there's any leftover snacks from the Sunday before and take it and eat it. The one time, though, I wanted to include this. The thing that made it funny is Nathan actually opened the fridge and grabbed the snack and looked right at the security camera with a very guilty face and ate it. So I wanted to include that, but I decided to preserve his dignity. I wouldn't even bring that story up. So let me instead talk about the two things that they're taking with them instead of just snacks. They're taking with them a good track record. As Paul looked back on his ministry, he was able to reflect on his ministry with the knowledge that he had served God faithfully and that he had served the congregation. I know there's a lot of different ways to look at Acts 20. I was a little bit overwhelmed as I thought of how to break this up and how to explain all the things that Paul said about his ministry. But as I studied, I really think there's four categories that describe the sort of thing that Paul took with him, a track record of faithfulness, and four things I think that Nathan, along with Elaine, are taking with them as well. And the first thing Paul could say is that he served God selflessly. He served God selflessly. In verse 18, he says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews." He served God selflessly. He was able to say, "The whole time I was with you, I served God with humility, with tears, and with trials." He served God even through the plots that came through the Jews. And what he's saying here is that he was subservient. He served the Lord even when it was hard, when it involved humility and tears and trials. Now, the word "serve" here actually in the English is a little bit weakened down, and I understand why. The word actually in the original has more to do with slavery, and I know we're not comfortable with the term slavery, because slavery, when it comes to humans, is an atrocious evil. It's a blight on humanity. It is wrong. And so we're uncomfortable with slavery, but one time slavery is not wrong is when it describes our relationship to God. When we are slaves of God, that is a good thing. When anybody is a slave to another human being, that is an abuse, that is horrible. When we are slaves to God, that is a good thing. And Paul here says, as far as my ministry went, I performed the duties of a slave. It was my privilege to see my life as not my own, but belonging to God, that I did not own myself, that I gladly and willingly saw myself as belonging to God. And it was a privilege to serve him. And Paul said one of the marks of his ministry is his obedient service, that he was able to serve God selflessly, that he understood that he didn't belong to himself, but he belonged to God. And his primary desire was to please him. And over the past 2 years, we've been privileged to see Nathan's ministry. Nathan, from day one, was clear that his life was not his own, that he belonged to God, that it was his greatest goal to serve God, that he wasn't here even primarily to serve us. He did serve us. But his service was really to us, but ultimately to God. He was serving God through us. That's what characterized Paul's ministry. It's how all of us should aim to live. And it's what characterized Nathan and Elaine's ministry among us as well. Number two, he served God selflessly. Secondly, he preached God's word faithfully. I love what Paul said. He said, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable." Now, there he's basically saying, he's implying he might have been tempted at times to shrink from declaring that which was profitable. There was a period where Nathan and I would just plan a sermon series out. It's, "I'll take this one, you take this one, I'll take this one, you take this one." And then we just split it randomly. And then we looked at the schedule, and it was like, okay, I'll take this easy one. And then Nathan, you take this one on the role of women in the church. I'll take this easy one. And then you take the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll take this one, and you take the how Paul deals with gross sexual immorality. I'll take this. It's like I was taking all the, like, and Nathan was not shrinking from declaring to us anything that was profitable. In those moments, it's very easy to take the foot off the gas pedal, to say, you know what, I'm going to make this a little bit more palatable. I'm going to make this just a little bit easier to communicate. I'm going to soften what Scripture says. I've even heard preachers apologize for what God's word says. But Paul was able to say, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable." Even if you might not have, even if it might have been uncomfortable, even if it might have, you might have looked at me like, "What are you saying?" Paul was able to say, "I'm not taking the foot off the pedal. I'm going to declare God's word to you, even when it gets uncomfortable." And he says, "In teaching to you, in public and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then verse 26 to 27, he says, "Therefore I testify to all of you that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Church, I want you to understand this, because I think a lot of times we expect that it's up to the preacher, right? Here Paul was saying, look, I've fulfilled my role. And at the end of the days, I can't control the response that takes place. But I can control. I fulfilled my duty. I faithfully proclaimed the word of God. I'm innocent. Like, my responsibility ends with the faithful proclamation. At that point, the church is responsible to receive it and to believe this word. And so Paul was saying, look, I've done my part of the duty. And now, church, here's your serious responsibility. When God's word is open and preached, we all have to lean in and say, like we said earlier today, this is God's holy word. Thanks be to God. We want to hear it and obey it. Paul didn't hesitate to preach, even when it was hard. He didn't soft pedal the truth. He went out of his way to declare to people the word of God, and especially encourage them to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Notice in this passage the relentless focus on Jesus. God blesses a ministry that's centered on Jesus. I think of what Spurgeon said, "Preach you Christ and Christ and Christ and nothing else but Christ." What should we preach about? Jesus. What about next week? Jesus. What about the week after that? Jesus. We need sermons that are saturated with the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. That he is the hope of sinners. He is the hope of everyone. That there is hope for everyone who turns to Jesus, who trusts him. That the best news we can possibly talk about is Jesus. That he transforms our lives. He gives us hope. He changes us from the inside out. One of the marks of faithful ministry is the preaching of the word that faithfully leads to Jesus, even when it's hard. And that would characterize Paul's ministry. And Nathan, that's characterized your ministry among us. I've been preaching now for 30 years. And I've often reflected as I've been sitting here that I wish that in my earliest years, when I was 23, as Nathan is, that I had been as careful preaching the Word of God as he has been. And I've sat there many times, hearing him preach and open the Word of God, and very aware of my responsibility as he's done, that I'm not responsible to Nathan ultimately, but as Nathan speaks the Word of God, I'm actually receiving not Nathan's words, but God's words. And what a heavy responsibility that is, to receive and hear and to measure against God's word. Paul was able to say he preached God's word faithfully. And so, I believe, can Nathan say this? And we praise God for that. And third, he guarded the church carefully. He served God faithfully. He preached God's, or selflessly, he preached God's word faithfully. And he guarded the church carefully. I love what Paul says here to the Ephesian elders. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now just pause there for a minute. Think about this. Who brought Nathan to our church 2 years ago? Paul here is talking to overseer, to elders, saying, the Holy Spirit has put you in charge of the church. Paul was able, I believe, to look at his ministry and say, the Holy Spirit brought me to Ephesus. On one level, I remember the day where I met with Nathan and Elaine online. I remember my friend Mike and I saying to him, you know what, you should consider going to Liberty Grace. I remember them coming to Liberty Village. I remember them looking around and I think we're gonna come here. On a number of different levels, you could say that they're here because I invited them. They're here because they came here. They're here because they sought advice and somebody said to them, you know what, you're young, be crazy, go to Toronto, whatever. On a spiritual level, they're here because the Holy Spirit brought them here. But Paul goes on and he says, the Holy Spirit made you overseers to the elders, he says this, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years, I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And see, Paul knew what was at stake. He knew how precious the church is to Jesus. But look around you today. Look around you today. Like, we're in Liberty Village. I walked by the BMO field last week on Sunday night, and it was, I loved it. I don't know how many fans were there, but it was packed. The CNE was on. I was at the food building, and everyone's there peering in. There's explosions and fireworks and cheers. It looked pretty impressive. Thousands of people. If you look at us, we're not thousands of people. We're just a ragtag group. Do you realize you belong to Jesus? You were purchased by the blood of Jesus. That you are part of the church. When God looks down on Liberty Village, he looks at you with extreme tenderness. You matter to him. This church matters to him. Paul understood the value of the church, that it has been obtained with Christ's own blood. He understood that the reason that the church existed is because Christ paid a heavy price to purchase them as a people for himself. He knew how valuable the church is. And he also knew that the church is in perpetual danger. And that's why he cared for the church's spiritual condition so carefully. He knew that the church is always in danger of believing lies and departing from the truth. Charlene's sister years ago, I would say she was always on very high alert. And I remember when our kids were young, as parents, you get used to their sounds. And one of our kids would cough. And we'd be like, okay, that sounds like a normal cough. They'd be eating food and maybe they'd choke a little bit on food. And as a parent, you get used to, well, I remember Chardine's sister being like on alert level 10, and our kids would be eating and they'd choke a little bit and she'd jump up and almost hurl herself over the table, ready to give them a high. And in a way, I sense, without belittling what Paul was doing, Paul was on high alert for the church. He knew how valuable their spiritual life was. And he wasn't sitting there laid back as things threatened the church. He was ready to immediately stand up and remind them what was true, because he knew how much they mattered to God. He knew how deadly the lies are. And that's why he guarded them so carefully. Now, I've seen Nathan do this in his ministry as well. I've seen him do this from the pulpit. I've seen him labor through sermons, tackling difficult topics. I've seen him do it personally as well, one-on-one with people, of actually getting in the weeds with their life. I've seen him actually sweat at night. I've been with him on Monday mornings and said, how are you, Nathan? And I remember the days when he'd say, not well. I'm worried. And then he would mention so-and-so in a situation. I'm worried. I care for them. I want them to do well. I'm concerned for them. Paul guarded the church faithfully, and so has Nathan, and we're grateful for this. And finally, he lived among them honorably. He served God selflessly, he preached God's word faithfully, he guarded the church carefully, and he lived among them honorably. Paul said, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to all necessities and all who were with me. In all things I have shown to you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. People could look at Paul's life and see that he lived with integrity. Now, Nathan wasn't perfect. He did steal cookies, but he was above board on financial matters. I think we can excuse the cookie incident and put it behind us, okay? Nathan worked hard. He was generous with his money. It was very clear that he wasn't here to moving to Liberty Village as it's very expensive. Nobody in their right mind looks at Ontario of all the places you can go and says, would it make good financial sense is to move to Liberty Village and come to a church that's not gonna pay me very much and set up shop there and spend 2 years serving. And by the way, I'm gonna do fundraising on top of that, and Elaine is gonna go get a job. He wasn't in it for the money. And it was very clear by his life that he was above board with his integrity. And you look at all of this together, you look at Paul's life, and it really adds up to something unique. When you find somebody who serves God selflessly, who preaches God's word faithfully, who guards the condition of the flock carefully, and who lives honorably, you found a gift from God. You found a faithful minister. That's the record that Paul took with them. It's a record that Nathan and Elaine take with them as well. And church, when you get to experience this kind of ministry, you've experienced a blessing from God. Tonight, do not miss the opportunity to praise God for the faithful ministry that we've been able to enjoy these past couple of years. Praise God that he raises up faithful pastors who love him and who are willing to serve the flock faithfully. This is evidence of God's love for you, that God would do such a thing. What a gift from God who loves and cares for his church. I'm only on the first thing that they're taking. I haven't even got to what we're giving them. I better get moving on. Nathan and Elaine are taking with them a good track record. This is going to be a bit briefer. That's not the only thing they're taking with them. They're also leaving with a mission. In verses 22 to 24, Paul says this, "Now I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except by the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish the course and the ministry I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Why was Paul leaving? Not because he was necessarily comfortable for him to leave. He was leaving because he felt constrained by the Spirit. And he looked to his future, and I think Paul could basically say, it would be more comfortable for me to stay with you. But I sense the Holy Spirit constraining me to go where it's going to be difficult. My goal is not to live a comfortable life, but to finish the course in the ministry that God has given me, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Why are Nathan and Elaine leaving us? Not because they're going to something easy. They're going to plant a church. They're going because God has given them a burden to plant a church in Baden. Now, unlike Paul, I don't think imprisonments await them. I hope not. But I do want to tell you that church planting, as I can attest to, involves spiritual attack, discouragement, sacrifice, and persistence. But it's worth it if only they might finish the course and the ministry that they've received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God in Baden. Our prayer is they leave. We're going to get to this in a minute, but the reason they're leaving is because they are on mission to reach people in Baden who've never heard the news of Jesus Christ, the news that changes lives. And they're going not because, you know, necessarily, I know it's all kinds of reasons, but they're going primarily because the Holy Spirit has prompted them to take this move. That's what they're taking. They're taking with them a good track record and a mission. That's what Nathan and Elaine are taking with them. That's what Paul took with them too. Praise God, friends, for what they're taking with them. Praise God that they leave with a faithful track record. Praise God they leave with a sense of mission. But may I suggest there's two things that we're going to send with them. So they're taking, whether we want it or not, that's what they're taking. But here's two things we voluntarily tonight send with them. As they leave, we want to send with them the two things the Ephesian elders sent with Paul. And the first is love. We read in this passage, in verses 36 and 37, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. And they embraced Paul and kissed him. I kind of like my car mechanic. He's honest. He always answers the phone. When I drop my car off, he never overcharges me. He's a good car mechanic. I like him. He's pleasant to talk to. When he quits, I don't think I'll cry. That's just not the kind of relationship we have. I like the guy. We're just not that tight. But there's something deeply personal in the relationship between a pastor and his people. The relationship goes beyond that of the relationship we have with the grocery clerk or the mechanic or just anybody. Love enters the picture. It becomes an emotionally charged picture. The hard part about when you love somebody and they leave is that you experience a bit of pain. When a church loves a faithful minister, that church experiences pain when that person leaves. And I think we're going to experience a little bit of that today. I think we're going to experience a lot of excitement that they're going, but I think it's going to be like, oh, we're going to feel sad as well. It's going to feel a little bit emotional. The other thing they're sent, not just their love, along with the tears and all that went with that, they also sent their release. And that's what we want to send with Nathan and Elaine today. So picture the scene, they're crying. Paul's saying, you'll never see me again. Hardships await. They're like, oh, this is hard, we miss you. And then verse 38 says, and they accompanied him to the ship. They weren't happy Paul was leaving. And they were honest about their feelings. But they still went with him to the ship. And I can picture as Paul sailed away, they're waving, saying, bless you as you go. And that's what we want to do today. Nathan and Elaine, we're grateful for your ministry here. You become very precious to us. You're only going to be an hour away, maybe 3 hours on, depending on traffic, I don't know. Today we want to see this as praising God for your ministry, of expressing our love to you. We also want to see today as a commissioning, a blessing as you go to your next phase of ministry. As a church, we want to support you in our prayers and also financially. We want to tell you that we're excited about what God is going to do in your lives. We pray that he will bless you and work through you just as he has here. We want to invite you back from time to time. I hope that you'll come, and it's part of the deal. If we're going to support you financially, we want to get you back anyway to hear what God's doing through your life. We want to hear, and we pray that in the coming years that there will be many lives changed in Baden through your ministry. But church, when someone serves God faithfully, something remarkable happens. When somebody has a good track record, when they serve God selflessly, preach God's word faithfully, when they guard the spiritual condition of others carefully, when they live honorably, when they leave because God has called them, how could we not respond with love and sorrow? And how could we not release and bless them when such a servant goes? When someone serves God faithfully and leaves, the church must respond with love, sorrow, and blessing. And that's what we want to do today. So Nathan and Elaine, thank you for your faithful ministry. And thank you for following God's call. We love you. We're sad you're going, but we release you and bless you. We pray for God's blessing on you and your ministry. We pray that God continues to bring himself glory through you, and that many in Baden experience the transforming grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.